freedom terrifies us. This startling insight forms the core of Erich Fromm's masterwork, which explains why people throughout history have willingly surrendered their liberty to authoritarian systems. As humans evolved beyond pure instinct, we gained independence but lost the security of predetermined existence. Like Adam and Eve cast from Eden, we became conscious of our separateness, gaining freedom from external constraints while lacking freedom to realize our individuality positively. This tension plays out in our daily lives. Haven't you felt that strange paralysis when facing too many options? That subtle relief when someone else makes a decision for you? These moments reveal freedom's psychological burden. Each step toward independence increases our isolation, creating what Fromm calls a dialectic process. The child's first steps represent both triumph and separation. Adolescent rebellion establishes identity while creating painful distance. When individuation outpaces self-development, the resulting isolation becomes unbearable, triggering escape mechanisms. This pattern repeats not just in personal development, but throughout human history. Societies swing between periods of radical individualism and authoritarian control. The fundamental challenge emerges: how to maintain connection without sacrificing individuality, how to embrace autonomy without drowning in isolation. In medieval Europe, identity was inseparable from social role. You weren't someone who happened to be a blacksmith, you were essentially a blacksmith. Guilds regulated work methods and prices with minimal competition. Despite hardships, the church provided meaning to suffering through concepts of sin and divine forgiveness. This wasn't oppression because individuals, as we understand them, didn't exist. Medieval people remained connected through primary bonds to family, guild, village, and church, unaware of themselves as separate entities. They found security in what modern people would consider constraints. The Renaissance transformed this worldview. In Italian city-states, wealthy merchants began seeing themselves as self-made individuals rather than fulfilling predetermined roles. They discovered themselves, others, and nature as separate entities to study. However, this new individualism emerged alongside new forms of despotism. Relationships became competitive, with others increasingly viewed as instruments for personal gain. Even the successful experienced isolation beneath their power, explaining their passionate art patronage as defense against life's new instability. The Renaissance individual stood alone, simultaneously liberated and terrified by newfound freedom. While Renaissance individualism flourished among wealthy elites, the Reformation appealed to Northern Europe's urban, middle, and lower classes, expressing a different individualism with profound psychological consequences. Medieval economic stability collapsed as capitalism emerged. Markets and competition transformed economic relations into impersonal forces determining individual fates. Capital ceased to be a servant and had become a master, with a separate and independent vitality. Markets grew unpredictable, forcing individuals to succeed alone. Yet capitalism also freed people from traditional constraints. Money became the great equalizer, more powerful than birth or caste. This created ambiguity, liberation from bonds that provided security while gaining independence, leaving people facing a threatening, limitless world. Luther and Calvin's theologies both expressed and addressed these anxieties. Luther's doctrine emphasized salvation through faith, offering certainty through submission to God. Calvin's predestination taught that God predetermined salvation before birth, expressing feelings of powerlessness while paradoxically emphasizing moral effort as signs of being among the saved. This created a new attitude toward work, a compulsion serving as psychological reassurance against unbearable powerlessness. Unlike medieval people who worked only as needed, modern humans developed an inner drive more effective than external authority. This self-driven work ethic became a fundamental productive force in developing capitalism. modern industrial society expanded freedom while simultaneously undermining it, developing individuality yet making us more helpless, increasing independence while creating new dependencies. Capitalism freed people from traditional bonds and contributed to positive freedom through self-reliance. It allowed success based on merit rather than predetermined social positions, with political freedom growing as caste differences diminished. Yet this same system isolated individuals and fostered feelings of insignificance. In capitalism, economic activity and material gain became ends themselves rather than means to human fulfillment. People became cogs in the vast economic machine, serving external purposes. Modern humanity's relationship with itself became fundamentally distorted. Despite believing ourselves driven by self-interest, we experience intense insignificance and powerlessness. Selfishness isn't self-love, it's actually its opposite. The selfish person remains anxiously concerned with themselves, yet never satisfied, always restless and envious. Human relationships have lost their direct character and assumed a spirit of manipulation. Between competitors, employers and employees, businessmen and customers, all relationships follow market laws where people use each other as means to economic ends. Most devastatingly, we sell ourselves as commodities, offering our personalities to markets that determine our value. The feeling of isolation and powerlessness remains largely unconscious, hidden by routines and distractions. People cannot indefinitely bear freedom from without either moving toward positive freedom or escaping freedom altogether. Fromm identifies three principal escape routes: authoritarianism, destructiveness, and automaton conformity. Authoritarianism involves surrendering independence to merge with something outside oneself, manifesting as both submission, masochistic tendencies, and domination, sadistic tendencies, which typically coexist. The authoritarian character's relationship with authority has evolved from external control to internalized conscience and now to anonymous authority, disguised as common sense, science, normality, and public opinion. This invisible authority is more effective because one never suspects there are orders to follow. While sadism seeks symbiosis with others, destructiveness aims to eliminate its object entirely. Both stem from unbearable powerlessness, but destructiveness represents a more desperate solution. By destroying the threatening world, one escapes feeling powerless in relation to it. Destructiveness emerges when life's natural expansiveness is thwarted. When growth is blocked, this energy transforms into destructive forces. Destructiveness is the outcome of unlived life. The third escape, automaton conformity, pervades everyday life. People believe their decisions are their own when they're actually conforming to external expectations. This disconnect between authentic and performed self creates profound insecurity, driving individuals to seek continuous approval from others. Positive freedom emerges through spontaneous living that overcomes doubt. This active security strengthens through life's challenges, unlike the passive security of childhood or authoritarian systems. Positive freedom affirms our uniqueness while recognizing our common humanity. We're equal in fundamental rights, yet different in traits. Genuine growth unfolds our unique potential organically, like a seed developing into its inherent form. Equality means shared human qualities and solidarity, not uniformity. When freedom becomes spontaneous self-expression, destructive drives diminish. Truly free people neither dominate others nor submit to arbitrary authority. Democracy's future depends on genuine individualism, where personal growth becomes culture's purpose. Capitalism has created material abundance, but we must reorganize social forces to serve human purposes. This means preserving democratic achievements while enhancing freedom through human-centered economic systems. Our fundamental challenge is that intellectual development has outpaced emotional maturity. Our brain lives in the 21st century while our heart remains in the Stone Age. we must choose between fleeing from freedom into new dependencies or advancing toward positive freedom based on the full realization of our individuality.